Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080, Light 100.5 WRCH, and 96.5 TIC. This morning, our guest is going to be the superintendent of CISIC, the Connecticut Foundation Solutions Indemnity Company, Mike McGlaris. And we're going to be talking about how the Crumbling Foundations Captive reaches the 1,000-plus family milestone. Definitely a big accomplishment for what has been a big problem, particularly in eastern Connecticut in recent years. Mike, good morning, and welcome to the show.
Hey, Morgan. Good morning. Great to be with you.
I'm happy to have you on the show to talk about this issue and the latest here, which is that you guys have now gone past 1,000 families assisted. You know, if you could just take us back a number of years, Mike, before we talk about the milestone today and this week and where we're going from here, I'd like to just get your thoughts on where we were when this problem emerged, when we started to learn about it, and families felt helpless.
Yeah, I think helpless is the right word. They literally had nowhere to turn. And we're talking back in 2013 and 14 and 15, in the very early days of the emergence of this crisis and the emergence of what was causing this crisis, which is key to the understanding of your listeners. The critical part, of course, is that Governor Malloy, Dan Malloy, the former governor, signed into law on October 31st, 2017, a law creating a captive insurance company vehicle to warehouse this problem. And state money poured in, and we began. And we opened our doors on January 10, 2019. And just a couple of days ago, we passed the 1,000 family mark. So we're kind of proud of that number. But it is a team effort, and I have to tell you, it represents a great deal of hard work, because the families, and the long-suffering families here, Morgan, are the key to understanding this terrible problem.
Exactly. When we talk about these crumbling foundations, we're talking about the mineral pyrrhotite, which caused the concrete in these foundations to literally crack and crumble over time, and in some cases, just a matter of years after they had been installed. What did you hear from those families at that time? I remember in a previous interview that you had told us that you had been called Satan, and that these people were definitely worried about their situation and getting money, and how time was being not necessarily wasted, but it took a lot of time to get help. And here we are, we've reached a really big milestone. So how do you feel knowing how they felt and how they're feeling today?
Well, I've been called worse things than that in my lifetime, Morgan, but we won't go into that story. What's really important is people were frustrated that they had lost 60 to 70% or more of the equity in their homes. They were frustrated that there was no place they could go to in the commercial insurance market. The commercial insurance market had turned its back on them. The list goes on and on and on, and they would take it out on me and my staff, and that's fine. What really happened, though, was the state of Connecticut, in a bipartisan effort, decided that enough was enough and gave us the funding we needed. And I asked people to stay with us, and I told them that if they did, I would replace their foundations, and I'm happy to report that we've done that.
We're looking at $156 million, Mike, for foundation remediations, as well as reimbursements for work already performed to date. Now, that's not all of the money that you guys have access to. There's eventually going to be more funding, correct?
Well, we're due right now, as of our recording this, another $25 million from the Connecticut Bond Commission. They approved $25 million on August 8. It does take a bit of time for that to wend its way through state government. We expect that any day now. We, just a few weeks ago, got more than $11 million from the Healthy Home Surcharge. That's the $12 per homeowner policy surcharge that you and I and all of the listeners who buy a homeowner's policy in Connecticut are paying, 4 cents a day, to help with the victims of this crisis. And we are coasting along and issuing participation agreements and getting foundations ready to go. Based on that $11 million, another $25 coming. They owe us $25 more, next year, meaning about this time next year, and then the bonding issue will be done. So we are actively engaged, I and my team now, in talking in a bipartisan way across both sides of the aisle to secure another $166 million. And we can talk about that source and where it will go, but I've convinced a lot of people that based on the data that we've got, Morgan, we can put this crisis literally to bed. It'll be done by 2035 if we get another $160 million. It'll be all over.
That's incredible. I'm talking this morning on Face Connecticut with my guest, Mike McGlaris. He is the superintendent of the Connecticut Crumbling Foundation Solution Indemnity Company. You know, I wanted to ask you if you could just go into that process, Mike, what it takes and what it costs to replace a foundation. Now, I know that we're talking generally here because it can vary from case to case, but I've seen some of these in Eastern Connecticut, Tolland, Willington, right, where the home is literally raised off the foundation. A family cannot obviously stay there. They have to go somewhere else. The old foundation's removed and a new one is put in place, and it can take a while for that, too. What happens from start to finish, and how much money, on average, would a home be looking at?
Well, let's start at our cap. We won't pay more than $190,000 for a foundation remediation. So that's our cap. But I have to say that as of this morning, roughly about 20 minutes ago, 9 a.m., my staff gave me the latest figures, and our average foundation remediation costs $146,240 as of this morning. So we're driving the cost down from where it was 4 years ago, close to $170,000. Contractors are sharpening their pencils. They're competing. It's old-fashioned, you know, American competition, which we love. So the cost is going down. And what's happening is the other statistic I'll share with you is that in a handful of cases, houses hit the cap because of their size. Obviously, a 5,000-square-foot home costs differently, Morgan, than a 2,000-square-foot home. And those differences show up in the numbers. But according to our data that we have as of this morning, 97% of the homes that we fix, the foundations that we fix, that we lift 7 feet off the ground, 97% of those, we pay 100% of the concrete replacement. And what the homeowner ends up with is a home restored to its equity, a home restored to the tax base of the town in question, some hard-hit towns in northeast corners, you know, and a home that's structurally safe. So it's a victory straight across the board for all of these families. Costs have come down. The amount of time that it takes for that family to be out of their home has been reduced now from an average of 16 weeks to less than 11. So it's a victory all across the board, and one that represents a lot of teamwork. And kudos to state government. They've stuck with us. There's been some rocky, you know, roads, bumps in the roads earlier in the process, but we've gotten past that, and it's a tremendous bipartisan effort.
If we're looking, Mike, at 2,300 claimants, many of whom are awaiting that next round of funding, the $25 million that you mentioned.
Yes.
Are they okay where they are right now? You know, these crumbling foundations, are they immediately just going to sink into the ground, these homes? Or, you know, are they relatively stable for the most part until they can get that replacement?
Well, for the most part, they are relatively stable. I travel in the affected area once a week. As the superintendent, I show up literally on the job site without any notice or warning to speak with homeowners, to view the contracting work, to speak to contractors, to speak to neighbors. I've been in hundreds of foundations, looked at them, where I could literally take my jacket off and roll my sleeve up and insert my entire arm through the crack in that foundation, almost up to the elbow. Is that structurally unsound? It is in danger of being structurally unsound, but here's the key. There's also flooding when it rains. There's also mold and mildew. It's a serious human problem. So we try to move as quickly as we can when we have the funds given to us by state government. It's a seven-day-a-week effort here, and literally 7 days a week. There's somebody on call 7 days a week in my office. The question before us is how quickly we get state funding and the continuation of that funding after this next $50 million. That'll be key.
I'd like to ask you, Mike, about homes that have not had their foundation checked. I mean, if we're talking about Eastern Connecticut, that's a lot of homes, and I would imagine that there are some folks that just haven't done it, or maybe they're not paying attention too closely to this. They're saying, well, this doesn't impact me. So what do they need to know if they live in Tolland or Windham County, say, or even Middlesex or New London counties? What do they need to know about their foundations? What should they be on the lookout for? Are they looking for, you know, one or two cracks in the foundation? Are they looking for 100? I mean, could you talk about what some of these warning signs are for people that are listening now and saying, well, maybe it's not too late for me?
It is never too late. And we encourage people to do two things very quickly. Go up on our website. It's literally crumblingfoundations.org. Crumblingfoundations, that's plural, .org. And go to our useful links, and you'll see the 5 annual reports that I have filed with my board of directors. In those 5 annual reports is every town in which we have a claimant. If you live in one of those towns, you need to get your foundation checked. So that's the first thing you do. The second thing is, on that useful links section of our website, go to the list of CIFSIC certified home inspectors. Get a foundation inspection and a written visual examination. Know the extent, if any, of your problem. And don't misunderstand me. It could be that you find that that visual inspection reveals that your foundation is in perfect shape. So it's important for you to have knowledge if you're a potential claimant of ours. Go up on our website. There's tons of useful information. And as I said to someone who called my office the other day, a young couple moving from Massachusetts who were just discovering about the crumbling foundations crisis, I said, go to that website. Go to those useful links. If you're buying a home in the town of Tolland, in the town of Stafford, if you're buying a home in Ellington, in East Windsor, in Ashford, in Union, find out the extent of this crisis, take a look at the data, and judge for yourself.
About what years were these foundations installed for people who aren't familiar with the problem?
Roughly after 1983, which is our break point in terms of when we will accept an application. But if you actually go through the extent of the crisis, Morgan, in terms of the geography of the crisis, much of the area, for example, in Manchester and East Windsor was developed, large plots of land, particularly former farmland, sold to developers, and homes went up very quickly in those areas in the late 90s and early 2000s. If you actually look at our data, we have extensive data on where this crisis exists. A lot of the problem that we're seeing and a lot of the foundations we're remediating were for homes built in the late 90s, 98, 99, 97, 2000, etc.
That's quite a span there.
It is quite a span. And I think that's one of the reasons why we continue to lobby state government for an additional tranche of funding, another $100 million in bonding. I'll be asking for that, and I'll be speaking with anyone who will listen to me. And we have this healthy home surcharge we talked about earlier. That expires. It's all done on June 30 of 2030. I'm going to ask for an extension of 6 years. That's 4 cents a day for 6 years to help the neighbors in need. If I can get $166 million out of state government, I think we will see the absolute end of this crisis by 2036. Now, to be clear, that doesn't mean that we won't have in 2045, Morgan, we'll have a home with a crumbling foundation. But what it does mean is that we will be able to transfer this liability and transfer this process to the commercial insurance market by that time.
I was going to say, I mean, there must be a home somewhere down the line that would actually have this problem, especially if these were foundations installed in the very early 2000s. But, you know, going back to our little conversation there just a moment ago, Mike, talking about what qualifies to be a crumbling foundation, is it always a visual check or, you know, what else could they do?
It's always a visual check. There is a school of thought that you should test, you should core sample and test for the existence of peridotite. And we encourage anyone who wants to go through a core analysis, there are several sources, including a free source at UConn, to get that done, to go ahead and educate yourself. But from the standpoint of the immediacy of paying a claim, the immediacy of seeing that a foundation is already under the scourge of pyrrhotite, and map cracking is evident, and bulging is evident, and deterioration is evident. We only use a visual inspection process, and our people are trained to do that. They go through a vigorous annual recertification course and a tough exam, and some don't pass it. So we have the only visual inspection certification program in the world, and we have a crumbling foundation crisis in Ireland. We know we do in Massachusetts, a terrible one, but we've got the only certification program that actually certifies home inspectors to establish a severity code, which enables them enables homeowners to access our claim funding.
When you look at these foundations, you mentioned a while back, by the way, my guest this morning is the superintendent of the Connecticut Crumbling Foundation Solution Indemnity Company. His name is Mike McLaris. Mike, you mentioned that you've been able to put your arm in some of these cracks. Is it that drastic for some of these homes?
It is. It's not that drastic for all of them, thank God, because that would be a terrible crisis. But it's pretty bad. If you see a severe example, severity code 3 example, even a 2 example of map cracking, you don't have to be a certified CIFSIC home inspector to understand that when we get the kind of rain that we've been getting in the past 2 years as a direct result of climate change, that basement is flooded. And then once that basement is dried out, it's never really dried out. And increasingly, you can't close your front door or lock your front door. Your kitchen cabinets don't align. The list goes on and on and on. And at the end of the day, if the commercial insurance market, which has traditionally turned these claims down, continues to do that, CIFSIC, the captive insurance company, will be the only recourse for these claimants. And I have to tell you, we still are the only recourse. We're fortunate to have a little bit of help from our colleagues at Liberty Mutual and Travelers and the Hartford in their assistance program, but we could use much more assistance. And one of my goals, by the way, in the time remaining for me to be superintendent, is more outreach to the commercial insurance market to let them know about our successes and to remind them that CIFSIC is a federal tax exempt. They can make donations to us to help us with the cause.
You mentioned for as long as you're part of CIFSIC, what are your future plans? Are you looking to get out of this and retire, or are you looking to stay and see this through the early 2030s? As you mentioned, hopefully by 2035, in the next decade, you guys will have this crisis behind you. So what are your next immediate steps here?
Well, my next immediate steps is to remain through the superintendent, through the contract that my company has signed, Michael McLaris and Company has signed with my board of directors. We have a superintendent in waiting and in training who can easily step into my shoes, and that person is with us and shadowing me every moment of the day. So I think at the end of the day, we've got a good succession plan planned, but as to the exact timing of that, that's still between me and my board at this point, Morgan.
As far as your impact locally, obviously you're working with numerous state lawmakers. Could you maybe shout them out and talk about their efforts? I know that State Senator Saud Anwar is one of them. So what's your partnership looking like at the local governmental levels?
Oh, it's pretty broad. I mean, I want to make sure I don't forget anyone, of course. But Tammy Nuccio here locally, I live in the affected area. Of course, Tom Delnicki, everyone knows Tom, the person who is not running for re-election and who is very much the father of this insurance company. His name is Jeff Curry, a name well known to you and to all of your listeners. I also want to give a shout out to the governor, Ned Lamont, and I met within a month of his taking his oath, and he was skeptical about this program. He's a business person, and he should have asked a lot of questions, and he did. And we've won Governor Lamont over through our successes. He is an ardent supporter of our program. Eric Russell, the treasurer, the folks at OPM, Sila Mosquera-Bruno, who is the commissioner of the Department of Housing. I've never seen an effort that is more bipartisan in nature than this one. Both sides of the aisle. And it's important that your listeners also know that on my board of directors are 4 ex officio, non-voting board members who are legislators, 2 senators and 2 representatives of the Connecticut House, who are very interested in our progress and who come to meetings and ask tough questions And that's vital to getting the job done within state government.
As far as new people coming in, you know, Governor Lamont has just about 2 years left on his term. We don't know yet if he's going to be seeking a third term or not. For any incoming administration in the coming years, whether you're part of this group or not, what do they need to know? What did you say to Governor Lamont to make him say, yeah, you know what, I'm on board with this?
I would say that any time a government official, appointed or elected, if we can get in front of them with the history of this program and the history of our success, we will win them over. And we will do it through demonstrating the way in which we're improving the economies of the towns in which these unfortunate families reside. We have added 225 construction jobs in 5 years in the hard-hit northeast corner of Connecticut. I could go on and on, Morgan, but the clear issue is you put me in front of an elected official and give me 15 minutes, and I will state our case, the case of success, the case of jobs, the case of tax revenue. And in return for that, I'll remind everyone who wants to listen to me that this is a natural disaster. As I like to say, pyrrhotite, this mineral, this insidious mineral that you mentioned earlier, that's causing these foundations to crumble. You don't bake it in the oven like cookies, Morgan. It comes out of the ground. This is a natural disaster that the state of Connecticut is shouldering the burden for. And put me in front of someone and I'll make that case.
Have you heard from anybody else in any other state dealing with this kind of a crisis? You mentioned that this is something that Connecticut is definitely really dealing with here. I don't know if I've heard about this happening anywhere else.
In Massachusetts, it's a terrible problem in Massachusetts. You know, I can stand on the border of Connecticut and Massachusetts because, you know, we have homes in the northeast corner that are greatly affected in Connecticut that are right on the border. I can throw a rock from those homes and hit a house in Monson, Connecticut, that has a crumbling foundation. It's terrible. Upwards of 2,000 to 3,000 at a minimum in Massachusetts. And I've had discussions, early discussions, with the folks in Massachusetts, legislators and homeowners who want to employ the CIPSIC model or join CIPSIC or otherwise somehow figure out how we do what we do. Obviously, we're funded by Connecticut taxpayers, so I can't get too involved until I'm given the signal to do that. But Massachusetts has a very, very serious problem.
Is there anything else in our final minute, minute and a half here, Mike, that you would like to share with the audience? Again, the Connecticut Crumbling Foundation's Solution Indemnity Company and their superintendent, Mike McGlaris, on the line with me. They've reached the over 1,000 family milestone, helping all of those people who have dealt with crumbling foundations at their homes, and many more to go, at least 2,300 claimants waiting for the next round of funding from the state. Is there anything else, Mike, as we reach this milestone that you would like to share?
I think I would. And I would remind everybody, all of your listeners, we are so skeptical sometimes about government intervention in our lives, about the way government deals with problems. I'm a business person, have been a business person for more than almost half a century. And I will tell you that I was skeptical, even when I took this assignment, that we could do the job. I think what CIPSIC is the ideal private-public partnership. Private expertise, the management of a captive insurance company, which my firm has been doing for many, many years now, and state funding. The state's got the money. We know how to do this. And if I could, this captive insurance company in the captive insurance industry has been written up around the world as an example of that private-public partnership, a problem that state government has the funds to fix but not the expertise to manage. It's a sterling example of how that works. And candidly, I'm pretty proud of Connecticut state government. They've been enormously supportive.
Mike, thank you for coming on Face Connecticut this morning. I really appreciate it.
Morgan, it's been great. Thanks again. Bye-bye.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.